Hello and welcome to another episode of the Chaz Mosh Show. I am Chaz Mosh of the legendary tag team, the Headbangers. And this is where we talk wrestling, life, and everything in between. Woohoo! So let's go jamming out with little Bob O'Reilly to start the show. Get a little bit of juices flowing, a little energy going for you. Yeah. So I hope everyone's had a good week. I know I have. I have a big weekend coming up this weekend. We have the New England Fan Fest. And then Saturday night, we're doing a little Blitzkrieg wrestling. And then Sunday, we wrap it up a little K&S WrestleFest. So going to be an exciting weekend. Going to be a good time. But Bob O'Reilly, enough of you, because I can't focus with that going on the whole time because I literally want to be jamming out. But anyway, welcome to the show, and I want to chit-chat a little bit about the, if you're a wrestling fan, I'm sure you've heard about it, the 23 people that WWE released this week. Always tough this time of year. You know, you WWE typically after WrestleMania, you know, lets people go for various reasons. Some of the reasons could be they're just not being used. They don't think they can make money off of them in the future. Maybe they're just not, you know, they're not meeting expectations. The other side of it is budget cuts. So, which I'm sure brings TKO in, you know, being the money behind the machine. Not sure if TKO, you know, just says to them, hey, you know, here's a budget you need to be in, you know, dollar cents wise, or, hey, we don't like this person. We don't like that person. I'm not sure exactly who decides, you know, who gets released. But anyway, it doesn't matter because it sucks any way you look at it. You know, these people, they're real people with real lives, with real families, real dreams, you know, trying to just to figure it out. Whether you're on the main roster or if you're, you know, on NXT or Evolve, you know, it doesn't matter how long you've been there. It sucks either way, especially, you know, if you're not expecting it. So for me personally, I didn't get released. I just did not re-sign. So I knew leading up to that date that, you know, that was the date of my last contract. You know, that date was the end of my contract, not my last contract. It was my last contract at the time. But it was, you know, the end of my contract. So I knew, you know, come January 1st of 2002, you know, I was on my own. I was going to get that last paycheck. And then from there, you know, I had to figure things out. But I can't imagine what it's like for, you know, these people now, these 23, you know, individuals who I guess got a phone call, which I guess is better than an email or a text. Getting a phone call basically saying, hey, thanks, but, you know, you're not needed anymore. You know, you're going to be released. You know, we're releasing you. Good luck. Again, I have no idea how the conversation goes, but, you know, I can't see it going much different than that. And again, whether you're on, you know, the main roster, Raw, SmackDown, or your NXT, or, you know, you haven't even hit TV yet, either way to get that is it's a punch to the gut. It's a ball shot. And you know, because then you got to figure out, what am I doing? First of all, you got to figure out, okay, why? Like, what did I do wrong to get my release? What can I do better? And then, okay, what am I going to do now? You know, a lot of people, you know, you have choices. But in wrestling, you know, releases can sometimes be turning points. It can be a turning point in your career where you say, you know what? Hey, this really wasn't for me. You know, I really didn't like it. You know, I was just trying to figure it out. But, you know, I just don't think this is a future for me. And that's fine. There's absolutely positively nothing wrong with that. And then you go from there and then you can go figure out what you want to do in life. Or sometimes the best thing that happens to someone is being forced to bet on themselves. And the best example of that is Matt Cardona. You know, back. Oh, sorry. Drink of water. way back when in the day, Matt Cardona made himself relevant and virtually unfireable when he built his YouTube channel, his Long Island Story. I think it was Long Island Story. But he created this whole thing over the internet where basically Vince couldn't fire him because he got himself so over that way. And, you know, so he totally recreated himself. And then COVID hit and he got released. You know, there was mass releases during you know, when COVID hit. And one of the things Matt did is again went out and totally recreated himself. And with that being said, Matt came out when the releases happened. And I think this is awesome that he came out and said this. He came right out and said, listen, for all the release talent, you have three choices. One, you can fade into obscurity. What does that mean? That means you can just kind of go away. You can, you know, that's those people who think maybe this business isn't for them. And that's what they do. They just go away and they go do something else. Second choice is you can coast off of your WWE name. You know, anyone who's been on the main roster or even on NXT in Evolve or LFG, you know, you have some kind of name status. You can coast off of that and, you know, start calling around to promoters and, you know, getting booked on shows, getting booked on, you know, conventions, different podcasts, you know, to get your name over a little bit more. Well, you just coast on that. And you take that character and you go, okay, so let's see how far, you know, I can go on that. Or you do what Matt did. And his third option was work your ass off, reinvent yourself, make money, and have fun. That mindset is exactly how Matt Cardona made his way back to the WWE. And I'm sure most of you know Matt's story. Matt got released. You know, Matt became the indie god. He became the deathmatch king. He went out and not only did he, you know, recreate himself, because he went from Zack Ryder to using his, you know, real name, Matt Cardona. And he went out on the indies and just had a blast. And, you know, he went out there and he did different, not different characters, but he had opportunities in these indie shows to figure out exactly who he was. He wasn't Zack Ryder. He was Matt fucking Cardona. And he came out and he figured it out. And that's what you got to do if you want to stay in this business. You can, you know, again, we all have choices. You can sit around. You can wait for the phone to ring. You can sit around and feel bad for yourself. But Matt looked in the mirror and said, okay, I need to create a plan. I have no restrictions. There's no creative ceiling for me now because I'm on the indies. There's no one holding him back but himself. And then he went out and he proved to WWE why they need to hire him back. So the 23 people that have been released can do the same thing. You know, you have to look in the mirror and figure out who you are, create that plan. Because again, there's no restrictions on the indies. There's no creative ceiling. Basically go out there, do whatever the hell you want to do, and then go out there and prove to WWE why they made a mistake. Because no one is holding you back now except yourself. That's the only person that can stop any of you. You know, again, proven example is Matt Cardona. And then you have Matt Hardy. And I bring up Matt Hardy, and I'm going to bring up Cody Rhodes in a second also, because these are proven sources that have basically reinvented themselves over and over and over. Matt Hardy's reinvented himself a bunch of times, from being, you know, just with Jeff in WWE to being a singles wrestler in WWE, feuding with Jeff, and then he being gone and then doing his own thing in TNA, creating the entire Delete Hardy thing, the Broken Hardy. But he has continued to reinvent himself over and over and over again. Cody Rhodes. Cody got built up to a certain point and then said, you know what? I'm out. He left and he went with a couple other people and created AEW. If Cody doesn't leave WWE, There is no AEW. So you mean you want to talk about reinventing yourself and then creating a totally different company to compete against WWE? And then WWE hires him back. He leaves the company that he created and he started to go back to WWE. This is just things you can do instead of feeling sorry for yourself. And again, I don't know if anyone's feeling sorry for themselves. I'm just saying there's opportunities now to do this. And for me personally, my personal experience, when Glenn and I started tagging, my contract with WWE expired, like I said, in January of 2002. There was a time period there where Glenn and I didn't talk probably for a good 6, 7, or 8 years. And then he finally came down to Florida. I had a surprise 40th birthday party. He came down and, you know, he came down for the party and then he hung out for a little bit. And then he decided he went back to his place in Delaware, decided that he loved where I live down here in South Florida. And then he packed up and moved down here. He packed up his family, his wife, his two daughters, and moved down here. And I had a local show, and he came to the show and hung out. And he was like, listen, we should start doing shows again. And I'm like, yeah, why not? Because at that point, I really wasn't doing many indie shows. As an established tag team, I realized I am more valuable with Glenn than without. So people didn't want to book Chaz. They didn't want to just book Mosh. I mean, I got booked here and there, but it wasn't as much as it would have been with Glenn as the Headbangers. So around 2010, 2011, we decided to do this. And one of the first things I did was I said to him, we need to reintroduce ourselves. The internet was around. The internet wasn't around when I left in 2002, which I'll get to in a few seconds also. But what we did was I took a page out of Matt Cardona's book and I created a YouTube page, or YouTube channel, whatever the hell you want to call it. And Glenn and I started doing goofy, stupid videos. One of the biggest things we did was every major company, whoever their tag team champions were, we called them out. I remember it was I think they called themselves the best tag team in the world, something like that. It was Sheldon Benjamin and Charlie Haas were in Ring of Honor. And it was great because they took the tweets, they took the video we did, and they reshared it. And they basically said, well, you want to challenge us for our belts? Here we are. Right here, we're not hiding. That brought light, brought attention to us. I believe it was Evan Bourne and Kofi Kingston were the WWE Tag Team Champions. Air Boom, I think was what their name was back at the time. They did the same thing. The videos blew up. That gave Glenn and I, made us relevant all over again. And then bookings started coming because, you know, people were talking about us, which was amazing. It gained a lot of traction. So why I share this with you, with everyone out there, is, and I don't mean just in wrestling. This is life stuff. This is business. I mean, wrestling is a business. But you need to create your own momentum in life, no matter what's going on. If you want a new job, you want to do something different, you need to create your own momentum. And that's exactly what we did. That's what Matt Hardy's done his whole career. Cody Rhodes did it. Matt Cardona's done it. That's what you have to do. And, you know, back when I was released in 2000, no, sorry, I was not released. When I didn't resign in 2002, there wasn't YouTube. There wasn't all of these cool different things. The internet was around, but it wasn't around like it is now. There wasn't the social media stuff. So there really was nothing to do other than for me to try to reach out to people. And again, like I said a couple minutes ago, I found out very quickly that I was more valuable as a team with Glenn than I was on my own. The hard truth is this, and a lot of people don't realize it. Professional wrestling is a business. WWE, TKO, it's a business. And I talk about this in my book right here. Beneath the Skirt, which you get at chazmatch.com to get a signed copy. And it was something that I didn't realize when I was there was this is a business. I just looked at my time in WWE as, hey, I'm here. I have a job. I do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to have a job for the rest of my life. And, you know, I equate it to Walmart or, you know, a department store, wherever you have a job, a gas station, no matter what it is. In other regular jobs, if you do what you're supposed to do, you have a job for life for the most part. You know, if you don't cause trouble, you know, you don't steal, you don't do this, you do what you're supposed to do. You show up every day, you punch in that clock, you do your job, you clock out, you go home. You're pretty much going to have a job for the rest of your life. Well, that's how I looked at my career with WWE. I thought, okay, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. I had this plan in my head that I was going to wrestle till I was 40, and then I would retire from in-ring action and become a road agent. And, you know, road agents are now called producers. But, you know, that was always my goal. That's what I just thought would happen. I never talked to anybody about it. I never looked at it as a business or coming up with a plan to do that. I just thought, hell, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. They asked me to put somebody over. I'm putting them over. They want me to be Beaver fucking Cleavage. I went and was Beaver fucking Cleavage. You know, they wanted a storyline of me beating up my girlfriend. I did it. I just, again, that was my thought process back then of just do what you're supposed to do, have a job for life. And when I wasn't re-signed in 2002, I'll admit I was pretty bitter and salty about it. And, you know, I was scared. I was nervous. I had nothing else. You know, I didn't know what else to do because the last thing I had been doing for the last 10 years was nothing but wrestle. Looking back on that experience now, I understand it differently. And looking back again, hindsight's 2020. And unfortunately, sometimes in life, you learn things too late. But the things I know now, I would have done way differently in my career. And, you know, that's, I just would have done things a lot differently. I would have looked at things as opportunities. I believe I missed a lot of opportunities. And that's my advice. I was asked the other day, you know, if I had to give advice to the talent that was released, one of the pieces of advice I would give is, everything is an opportunity. You know, being released is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to grow. It's an opportunity for them to learn. It's an opportunity to figure out who you are and what you want to do in your life. And sometimes opportunities don't look positive at first. But, you know, this being released is another opportunity. It's a chance for them to reset. It's a chance to become the version of yourself WWE never let you get out. You know, maybe they were giving you a character that, you know, to a character to be that you weren't crazy with. Like, you know, I'm going to revert back to Matt Cardona. You know, Zack Ryder was over. When I say over, I mean over with the fans. He got pop. He got a reaction. You know, he won Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania. But that's not who Matt Cardona wanted to be after he got his release. So he built and created Matt Cardona, who would sit there at conventions with his fanny pack full of cash. I mean, and, it, you know, it is about making money because it is a business, and obviously you need to make money to survive. But wrestling's fun. It's a fun business. And if you're not having fun doing it, then why the hell are you doing it? You shouldn't be doing it. This is fun. You know, you get to act like someone else. You get to act like a goofball. You know, for me, that's how I feel. When I'm in the ring, I feel if I'm having fun, the fans are having fun. It's a fun job. So it's a little bit different today. Again, when my contract expired in January of 2002, I had been off TV for about a year. I had no momentum. I had, you know, no steam. I had no nothing because I was off TV. And once you're off TV, you know, you're forgotten about. And the big difference between now and, you know, back in my time was, you know, there's two brands now. So you have Raw, you have SmackDown, which actually is more opportunity. Yes, we had Raw and we had SmackDown, but it was all one brand. It wasn't two different brands. So once you got written off TV, it was hard to get your spot back. So, and again, no YouTube, no social media out there. There was no direct access to fans like there is now with Twitter or X, Instagram, you know, to keep yourself alive and to keep yourself going, to keep momentum. I had none. Talent today has YouTube. They have social media with obviously Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, you know, Twitter, all of it. And, you know, you can do podcasts. You can do someone else's podcast. You can start your own podcast. You know, you can do your own merchandise. You have the indies. There's global visibility from it, and it keeps you alive. If you hustle, the internet will help keep you alive. You just have to figure out how to use it. And, you know, one of the things I'm doing now is my Veterans Authority. And anyone out there who is listening or watching, you know, I have some indie guys under me right now that I'm coaching, whether it's social media, character side, you know, reach out to me. I'll be more than glad to help out, you know, and help with guidance or direction. You know, I'm just saying, I have the Veteran Authority program. So the next few months are going to be interesting, though, because I'm curious to see who signs where. You know, there's opportunities for people that were on the main roster that have a name, you know, to move over to either AEW or TNA. You know, JCW's taken off. You know, you have the NWA. There's all these different companies. Again, big difference when my contract expired in January of 2002 was there was no WCW anymore. Vince had already bought it and was getting ready basically to shut it down. You know, there was nowhere else to go. Now there's a bunch of different things, but I'm excited to see who goes where. I'm excited to see who reinvents themselves, who all of a sudden comes out and says, yes, I was Joe Blow. And now I'm Joe Snow. I don't know. I'm making shit up. Sounds stupid. I know, but deal with it. No, I'm curious just to see what happens with that. And then who comes out and really surprises everybody out of these 23 people that were released, who comes out on top out of all of them? Who comes out, reinvents themselves, and surprises the hell out of everybody? So that's all I got to say about that. But, you know, again, people on NXT might be a little bit harder for them or not, haven't really been on TV. But either way, you know what? You got to look at it this way. Getting released doesn't need to be the end of your story. It could just be chapter one of your story. So with that being said, do whatever makes your heart happy. Just don't suck at it.